You're going to turn to Joshua 6. I'm going to turn to the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read one verse to you. You're in Joshua 6, and I'm in Hebrews chapter 11. You stay in Joshua 6. I'm just going to read one verse. One verse. I do need to say this. I usually say this at the very beginning of a church. My pastor trained me in this. And when I preached my first sermon, I was 18 years old. And my pastor taught me then, whenever he or any other pastor allows you an opportunity in the church to preach or speak or teach, you thank the pastor. Now, he's not here tonight, and I know that, but I want to tell you, church, I'm thankful for your pastor. I'm thankful for the opportunity he's given me. And I want you to know, we don't take it lightly. We're sharing our hearts. We're telling you how God's working in our hearts. And now we're going to look into God's word. So I want to thank him publicly. I've certainly already thanked him privately. Hebrews chapter 11, you're in Joshua 6. Listen to this. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about for 7 days. I'll read it again. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. I've got a question for you. Based on that verse, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. How did the walls of Jericho fall down? By faith. Now wait a minute. How many know the story of the walls of Jericho? How many know the stories of the walls of Jericho? Anybody? Anybody know it? Very good. You know what? I bet if we went back in time, which we can't, if we went back and we talked to an Israelite in that time, and we said, how did these walls fall down if it just happened? I think they'd say, listen, this is the craziest thing. But we walked around that city for 6 days. And then the seventh day, we walked around 7 times. And then when those priests over there, when they blow those trumpets, we were told to yell, and that's what I did. I just yelled as loud as I could. And you're not going to believe this, but the walls just fell. It was incredible. That's what they tell you. But can I tell you, in the New Testament, God gives us a clear understanding of what happened. No yelling about down those walls. No bunch of walking around. The pitter-patter of feet, that did not bring down the walls. They believed God. Amen. And God took those walls down. Amen. For just a moment, I want to talk to you about living by faith. Living by faith. You know, faith is for salvation, but it does not end at salvation. God desires us. He demands that we live by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen? Know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, 6? That's what it says there. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. I encourage you. I don't know where you are in your Christian life. I don't know how long you've been saved. I don't know what's been going on, but every one of us can learn to step out further. That's what faith is. It's believing God so much that you step out. That's what it is. It's not just believing. James chapter 2 tells us the demons believe. The devils believe and tremble is what it says. It's not just believing. It's believing so much that we step out. We step out. You step out with me this evening. Father, be with us now. Lord, I pray that your word would not return void in these next few moments. Speak to us, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. The first thing I want to talk about to you tonight is I want to show you the problem that Israel faced. You see, Israel had just come out of this great desert and this wilderness wandering. And then when they crossed over the river, God said, this is the land I've given you. It's the promised land. It's a beautiful place. It's a wonderful place. There's a problem, though. There's a bunch of people who live here, and I'm here to tell you they're wicked. They're wicked, wicked people. And I think it's in Deuteronomy, God says that they were so wicked that the land was about to vomit them up. These people would sacrifice their own babies. They would kill their own children. That's wicked. That's pretty wicked to appease false gods who are not gods at all. This is what they do. And God said, I'm tired of it. Take them out. And then God promises him. He says, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to fight the battles for you. You're going to go, but I'm the one that's going to give you the victory. Can I tell you, that's a good promise. When God says, I'm going to go with you, you're going to fight, but I'm going to win, you've got an advantage. In and that's what they had. And they come up to this big, huge city. And the Bible tells us there that this great nation comes up. And when Jericho looks out and sees them, verse 1 teaches us, you know what they did when they saw this great nation coming? They just shut the gate. You see, the city was walled, and it had a gate, and they shut the gate. That's why it says, now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. They just shut the gate. You see, the city was walled. And by shutting the gate, there was no more threat. This great people was coming. They heard of Israel. But it didn't matter as long as Israel couldn't touch them. And that's the problem they faced. God wanted them to defeat a people that they couldn't touch. Now, they excavated the city, and I believe the early 1900s, and this is what they came up with. This is what they found out. The city of Jericho was not walled with one wall, but with two. The outer wall, they estimate, was 40 feet high and 6 feet thick at the top. In other words, God didn't say, here's a chain link fence I want you to get through. This was a big wall. How many of you know Rahab? You know where Rahab lived, right? On top of the wall. It wasn't like a little stair. This was a big wall. And God said, well, I want you to take them. And Israel's standing there thinking, how in the world can we get into that city? There's nothing we can do. That's the problem they faced. They faced a problem they couldn't do anything about. And can I tell you, I don't mean to be trite tonight, but people in this room are probably facing Jerichos. They're problems that you and I have that you cannot fix. We've got a guy in our home church, had a man in our home church, in April, I believe it was, he had cancer, and he was just 40-something years old, and they opened him up to cut it out, and when they did, they realized he was covered in cancer. They didn't even do anything. They just sewed him back up and said, I'm sorry, you've got weeks, maybe months. And the man passed away. That's a Jericho. And nothing he could do about it. Maybe someone in here has that kind of thing in their lives, or maybe someone you love has some type of terminal illness where the doctors say we have all the medicine we have and there's nothing we can do. That's a Jericho. Maybe someone in here has a loved one who does not believe in Jesus. Can I tell you, that's a huge Jericho. Because we can pray for them. We can live the life that Jesus desires us to live in front of them. We can give them the gospel, and we should do all those things. But here's the deal. You can't make them. You can't force someone to believe in Jesus. And that's a real Jericho. Because it's a problem you cannot fix. Maybe it's something financial. Maybe it's something with finances, and your income doesn't exactly match the outgo. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been there before besides me? Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that. And you're thinking, God, if I could just make it to the end of the month. Never mind the next year. If I can just make it through. Maybe that's your Jericho. Can I tell you another Jericho we face? God has given us as the church the task of getting the gospel to every soul. It's our job. It's not the missionary's job. That's a lie. I used to think that. When I started going to churches, missionaries would come in and they'd say, I'm a missionary to China. And I'd think, well, that's his job to get the gospel to China. It's not mine. Not my problem. That's his problem. I soon found out that's not in the Bible. God's called his people, the church, Christians, to get the gospel to all people. That's quite a Jericho. That's the problem they face. Very quickly, we're going to look at the plan they followed. I do love this. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once, thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Verse 5. This is the last verse we'll read. And it came to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before them. You know what we do when we read the Bible? It was thousands of years ago. Man. It was easy for them to have faith. that's got the rent due at the end of the month. I'm the real one that needs faith here. And can I tell you, if we read our Bibles like that, that's a lie. Because if it was me standing before a 10-foot Goliath, all of a sudden that gets kind of scary.
Right.
So what I want you to do is just pretend with me just for a moment that you're Israel back then. You're not. I know you're not. But pretend. Think about if this plan doesn't go through, what's going to happen to your children? I got three, if I do say so myself, beautiful girls. It's not because of me, it's because of their mom. But I got three beautiful girls, and I shudder to think of what would happen to them if this plan failed. What those heathen people in Jericho, what would they do with my three girls? I shudder to think what they'd do with my wife. What would happen to me? All of a sudden, the pit starts growing in my stomach. You know what I'm talking about? You know how you feel? Think about it like that. And as you're thinking like that, and that's going through your head, Joshua gets up before us and says, everybody calm down. God's got a plan. You ready? This is what we're going to do. We're going to walk. Huh? That's what we're going to do. We're going to walk around once a day. For 6 days. Now, no talking. He hadn't said that yet. He's going to say it a little later. No talking. And we're going to walk around. And then on the seventh day, boys, this is where God's going to give us the victory. This is going to be incredible. You ready what we're going to do? This is the key. We're going to walk around 7 times. Huh? And I can imagine about that time, people in Israel are going, where is Moses? I know he's dead, but he's got to have a better plan dead than this guy does a lot. And he says, but wait a minute, I'm not done yet. This is where God's going to give the victory. After that seventh time, those priests over there, they're going to blow the trumpets. And when they blow the trumpets, you ready? This is what we're going to do. We're all going to yell really, really loud. That's it. That's a horrible plan. We were in Washington, D.C. a week ago tonight. Just missed the snow. And we went and saw some of the sights before church on Tuesday. And we're going around and there was a building being demolished. This is going to be crazy to you, I know. But you know how they weren't doing it? They didn't have a bunch of people walking around the building. yelling as loud as they could to get the building to fall down. And that's not how they did it. You know why? Because it's a horrible plan. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Logically, it goes against everything that makes any sense whatsoever. It's crazy. It really is. Think about that. You know Napoleon, he was quite a leader, wasn't he? You know he never one time even tried this? You know why? Because it doesn't make any sense. Imagine with me getting home tonight and the President of the United States, let me state this. I'm not speaking about any president in particular. You pick your favorite, doesn't matter. He gets up there and he says, ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans, we're going to go to war against country X. And we're not going to bring our tanks and our weapons. We're just going to walk around the capital city and they're going to yell really, really loud. No one would say, sign me up. I'm ready to go. There'd be like a mass exodus from the army because it's a terrible idea. No one on Fox News or CNN would be going, you know, I think the president really has it together, don't you, Bob? And no one would say that because it's a bad idea. But can I tell you, they believed God.
Yeah.
And they did it. And you know what happened? The walls fell down.
Yeah, right.
They did exactly what God said they would do. You know, I think our God uses plans that go beyond our logic a lot. And this is why I think he does it. Because tonight I'm standing before you and I'm not telling you how great a leader Joshua was. He was a good leader, sir. I'm not saying that. But that's not who gets all the glory in this story. I'm not telling you about how mighty and strong and able and capable the military of Israel was or the men were. That's not who gets any of the glory. You know who gets 100% of the glory in this story? And I think he does the same kind of stuff in your life.
Right.
Because if I'm going to be honest with you, there may be times where I would have said, God did a good job. So did Patrick. You know, to share a little bit of the glory. But when we do things God's way, there's only one thing you can do. You just turn around and say, God, you did it. That's the only way this happened. Can I share with you one way in my life and I'll be done? I'm going to share a personal story with you. We're products of our local church. My wife is. I am. That's what we are. So we live our lives according to the Bible and the way our church has taught us. One of the things we do at our church is we give. We tithe. We believe in that. We think that's a biblical principle to give. We believe it's through the local church. That's what we do at our home church. It's what we've always done. That's what I did when I started going there before I met my wife. That's what she did before she met me. That's what we do. I tell you that story to say this. We stepped out by faith on deputation. You see, I had a job as an assistant pastor. I made some pretty good money. Not a millionaire by any means, but paid the bills. My wife worked a job. I also worked a secular job on the side on Mondays. And so we had three jobs. We had money coming in, and all of a sudden we step out and believe God, and we leave our jobs, and when we leave our jobs, we leave the money, and all of a sudden, it's getting tough. And we'd already given to our church. But the problem is, when we give to our church, we don't have enough to pay the rest. And I remember one specific night, I was sitting back on the porch of my house, and I was looking at my account, and we had about $37. When I say that, we didn't have $37 and $755,000 in 401ks. I meant we had $37. And we had a lot more than $37 there. I'm not saying this is what you should do. I'm just telling you the way our church has taught us and the way I believe my God works. We already did. For a moment there, I was sitting on the back porch, and if I can be honest with you, I felt like God had left me. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's the way I felt. And I thought, you know, if you made a big mistake here, you believe God, and you've stepped out and done this, and now you look like a fool. God's not taking care of you. You moron. And just go all through this in my mind. Scared to death and really sick over it. And I get all of a sudden, I get a text from a church that does not support us. They still don't support us. And they said, Patrick, we have voted to give you a one-time gift of $750, I think is what it was. It may have been $700. And God showed up. See, I can tell you right now, every time I believed God and stepped out, He showed up. We did things God's way. We gave to Him, and He didn't have to end the month. And it didn't look good. And I, in doubt and fear, didn't respond right. But when we stepped out and believed God, God had a plan the whole time. He knew we only had $30 in the bank. It wasn't a big thing to Him. And when I told my wife about it, you know what? She couldn't say, Patrick, you are an incredible man who has taken us out of this horrible financial situation. You have yet again saved our family from certain destruction. She couldn't say that. You know who she had to give all the glory to? Amen. You know who I had to give all the glory to? God. You see, I think God uses the logical plan so that when we just trust Him and we step out, and it's not that it's a financial. But it's not just financially. When we believe God, trust Him, and step out, He takes care of us every single time. What is God dealing with your heart about tonight? Is there something that you want to do for Jesus? Maybe it's something in this church. My pastor has a saying at our church. It's well known. He'll say this, everybody needs a job down at the house of God. I believe that. That's what I've been trained. That's what I believe. I believe you ought to have a job down here at the church. I don't know what it is, but if your church is like ours, and it is, you've got plenty to do around here. There's always something else that can be done. If God's put something in your heart, why don't you talk to Pastor about it? Let me tell you, I don't think the devil wants you serving Jesus. So I don't think the devil put whatever's on your mind or in your heart there. I think God may be doing that. Maybe it's about telling somebody about Jesus you love. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a cousin. And you think, man, I'm scared to death to talk to him, but you know, when I bring this up, it's going to make things very uncomfortable. I don't know that this is a good idea. Can I tell you? I don't think the devil put on your heart to tell somebody about Jesus. Do you? I don't believe that. If God's put something in your heart, why don't you believe him? Step out. It's going to be scary. It's going to be scary. It might not go the way you wish it would. But I can tell you, when you turn around and look back, you're going to say, God was there. He's the one who did it all. I'm done with this illustration. When I was a boy, you have Home Depot around here? Home Depot, Lowe's, things like that. When I was a boy, Home Depot was, they started out of Atlanta. My father was talking to a man and said, if I would have known what Home Depot was going to do, I could have put X amount of dollars into Home Depot. And then in so many years, I'd have X amount of millions of dollars. You ever heard a story like that before? I don't think when we get to heaven you'll ever see anybody pouting. And you go to them and you say, sir, what's the matter? You're in heaven. I don't think you'll ever hear somebody respond with this. You know, I trusted God too much. I believed in Jesus. I stepped out and albeit he wasn't powerful enough. He didn't answer my prayers. I believed him and stepped out and he wasn't good enough. I don't think you'll ever hear that in heaven. You? I do think you'll hear this. I do think you'll see this. I do think I myself will even feel this for a moment. When I see the face of Jesus, I do think I'll think, I could have stepped out more, man. He was good for it. I could have stepped out further. He would have taken care of me. He would have used my life. If I just would have, I just would have stepped out. There's an old hymn we used to sing. It says, by and by when I look on his face, I wish. Step out tonight. You can believe him. You can invest your life in him. Believe God tonight. We're leaving on March 24th. We believe God. If I can be totally honest with you, there are days I'm scared of that. But you see, every time I've stepped out and believed my God, he's been there. And I'm going to be getting on that plane on March 24th, and I'm just going to have to believe he's going to do it. Would you bow your heads and pray for me, please? What is God speaking to you about tonight? I'm going to pray, and Brother Nichols, if you'll come up and close the service as you see fit. Father in heaven, God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to our hearts. Lord, I pray you'd help us just to believe you and to step out more tonight than we ever have. Father, I pray that this message would penetrate my own heart most of all. And God, I've stepped out, but I haven't stepped out enough. You're good for it. I need to step out more. I'm believing you. I ask that you work in my own heart that I'd step out more. Lord, I pray for the brother or sister in this room who's scared to death. You're dealing with them. They know they need to believe you and step out. Help them to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.